The next item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2019-06, Lee Brown by Jessica Johnson and Jason Torchinski. Welcome, Council. And we'll begin with a presentation by Ms. Waldstreicher of our Council's office.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Weintraub. Good morning, Commissioners. It's still morning.
It is.
Agenda documents 19-14-A and 19-14-B are alternative draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by Lee Brown. Brown is a candidate in the upcoming special election for North Carolina's 9th Congressional District, for which the electioneering communications period will begin on April 14th. Lee Brown and Associates is a for-profit real estate business incorporated in North Carolina. Brown has recorded radio ads for the business that identify her by name but make no reference to her candidacy. The request asks whether these existing ads may be exempted from the definition of electioneering communication, or if not, whether proposed alternate versions of the ads would be electioneering communications. Draft A concludes that the existing versions of the ads are not entitled to an exemption from the definition because they are not plainly and unquestionably not related to the election. Draft B concludes that the existing versions of the ads are entitled to an exemption because they do not promote, support, attack, or oppose any candidate, and they are plainly and unquestionably not related to the election. Both drafts conclude that the alternate versions of the ads would not be electioneering communications because they do not contain unambiguous references to a clearly identified federal candidate. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, is your mic on?
It says it's green. Is it not on?
I hear you now.
Oh, okay. Brand new, fancy building, but sometimes the technology doesn't always work. I'm substantially in agreement with Draft A, although with respect to the alternative versions of the ads, I'm not really persuaded that changing it to Lee Brown and Associates when the ads are voiced by the same individual who has been voicing ads for her eponymous company for 13 years, that adding the word and associates really makes it substantially different from the analysis and changing the I to we, I guess, in the text of the ad, makes it substantially different from the analysis under question one. So I think even the alternative versions would fall under the electioneering communications provision. However, if somebody else voiced the ad with the same text as in the alternative version, I think that would move it a step further away from the candidate, and that would satisfy me. So that's where I am. I think it's different from the Darrow precedent, which I guess is the closest precedent, because there were actually two Russ Darrows, and the candidate was not, in fact, the guy that was running the company at that point or had been for a good decade. So I think it's close, but not quite analogous. So that's where I am. I don't know if anybody else wants to weigh in on this. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the drafts came in late and may have not given you an adequate opportunity to formulate a comment. Just wanted to give you an opportunity to comment on the late draft and just any other observations that you have regarding the competing drafts and their answers to your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Vice Chairman. Obviously, our client would be happy with either draft. We prefer draft B, but if draft B didn't have enough votes, then we would support draft A. With respect to the chair's comments about the alternative version, I think the notion of the unidentified voice of a candidate was addressed squarely by the District Court in Eastern District of Virginia and Hispanic Leadership Fund, VFEC, where the court concluded the unidentified voice of Barack Obama did not constitute an electioneering communication. Here, when the voice says, "We're Lee Brown and Associates, we're doing the following, we'd like to be your realtor," there's nobody that doesn't identify that voice as Lee Brown. And I think that the Eastern District of Virginia has already addressed that and ruled that the unidentified voice of a candidate, unless there is essentially overwhelming evidence that everybody knows that voice, is just not a clearly identified voice. In fact, at the Hispanic Leadership Fund v. Eastern District of VFEC argument, I actually was the lead counsel on that case. When Mr. Noddy, who was arguing for the commission, got up and said to the judge, "Your Honor, everybody knows the president's voice." The judge's response was, "I don't." And basically said, "Look, unless you can show me that everybody knows that person's voice, it's not a clearly identified candidate unless the radio voice identifies them." And so for that reason, I think the commission is compelled to conclude that the alternatives are not electioneering communications, at least in accordance with the judgment against the commission in Hispanic Leadership Fund. So I would urge you to reread that opinion before you rule, but I'd also ask you to rule very quickly because we may be in a position of needing to seek a TRO. The electioneering communications window opens on Sunday, and if our client doesn't know what ads they can run for their business, we may need to go to court very quickly. And if there's one way to discourage business owners from running for Congress, this is a way to do it. To say if you have a business that happens to share your name, a name that you chose before you even long before you decided you were going to run for Congress, and you need to stop advertising on broadcast when you, or you have to totally change your advertising schemes when you run for Congress, that discourages people from running for Congress. And I don't think that's what Congress intended when they passed this statute.
Madam Chair, if I just...
Feel free, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The facts as presented in this case where we know that the format that is proposed to be used going into the electioneering communications windows is the same format in terms of wording and in terms of structure as she's used for 13 plus years. In terms of the kind of the catchphrases and identifying issues that are of importance in the real estate market, I guess in the Charlotte area. And to me, that addressed the concern that if someone wanted to use their company and then all of a sudden changed radically the focus of the ads and that they were these hagiographic ads about the founder of the company and at the very end, oh yeah, and get your real estate services provided by Lee Brown. I think that we might be in a bit of a different circumstance. That's a different question for a different day, but the evidence we have for us here is that we had a particular format with a particular individual and that we don't have any evidence that they are in any way being manipulated or changed in order to elevate her candidacy in any sort of maybe unspoken or unsubtle way. And for me, that was what was persuasive in wanting to put out draft B. That's the reason why I'm willing to support both the current proposal as well as the alternate versions. I had hoped that we would at least be able to land on the alternates. But I just wanted to express where my thinking is and why I'm prepared to support draft B.
Mr. Hunter.
I, too, am prepared to support draft B for the same reasons that the vice chair explained. And I agree with Mr. Torchinsky that if this is something that the commission's not able to agree, at least in part on, it will discourage people from running for political office. And I think that's a really valid concern. We have facts here, as have been explained, somebody who ran a business for many years before they decided to run for a candidacy, and now they're not allowed to operate their business. It just seems completely, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And as is described in the draft, we do have the ability to state that somebody doesn't meet the electioneering communication requirement because of various factors. And these, to me, are squarely presented in both draft A and draft B. And I'm willing to support either of them if we can garner four votes.
Commissioner Walther.
I'll support draft A.
That's three.
I mean, one thing that maybe I could offer a little compromise, Madam Chair, that might satisfy you. I think there was some language in draft B that sort of discussed how the facts of this situation were unique and may not be broadly applicable. I wonder if there's a way to pull some of the language from draft B into draft A, where we talk about the fact that sort of in the alternative version, that this is sort of a unique circumstance, right? It's not every business owner that has regularly voiced their own radio ads for a decade plus. And that's, I think, what makes this a little unique. And perhaps we can pull, in fact, that language is at...
And while Jason finds that, if I might, I think, you know, part of those unique facts are the fact that she has been doing this for 13 years, but these particular advertisements that we included, she wrote these advertisements and recorded them prior to becoming a candidate. So, they truly have had nothing, you know, to do with her candidacy since the inception in her brain. It's quite remarkable. She actually sits down and just speaks them and has for all of this time. But she went to great lengths to find a completely separate vendor, you know, in the political space to handle her campaign that has nothing to do with any sort of production or, frankly, anything to do with her real estate business at all. So I do think the facts are quite unique here in that I think that when the commission has considered this previously with respect to the Mark Wayne Mullen advertisements, I think there the commission felt like there had been some intertwining with respect to the issues and the vendors, whereas here she always ends her ads with the tagline that says, you know, I'm interviewing for a job, I want to be a realtor. There's a difference when you call Lee Brown. If we were to use instead, as Jason suggested, Lee Brown and Associates, which was approved or is suggested in the draft A alternative, I feel like that would perhaps provide some of those unique circumstances that the commission could approve.
Right. The language that I was thinking about in draft B appears on page 8 at line 3. Under the factual circumstances presented in the request, including that the ads do not promote or support Brown's candidacy or attack or oppose her opponents, and that Lee Brown and Associates has been distributing similar ads for the past 13 years, the commission concludes it should exercise its discretion. But I'm not saying that last sentence that begins on or that continues on to line 6, but just the stressing of the unique facts, if you're going to adopt draft A but approve the alternative version of the ad, stressing that they're unique because they don't, you know, promote or support the candidacy, they don't attack opponents, and because of the long history of the same ads. And then again on page 9, in line 17, the commission's draft again stresses the unique facts here. And I think I'm wondering, Madam Chair, if bringing some of that language into draft A in proposing and in approving the alternative in these unique circumstances, particularly in light of the Hispanic Leadership Fund decision, whether that might satisfy any concerns you would have.
I hear what you're saying, Mr. Turchinski. And I appreciate the fact that it does not appear that these ads were ginned up for her business in order to promote her candidacy. But the flip side of that is that the fact that she's been recording these ads for her own company that bears her own name for 13 years, to me, makes it a lot more likely that people actually will associate her name with her. The language in the draft on the non-alternative version that says, Brown's statement in her own voice that I'm Lee Brown is an unambiguous reference to a clearly identified candidate, I have a hard time seeing the strong distinction in saying Brown's statement in her own voice that we're Lee Brown and Associates is legally all that different from the first one.
I understand you had I think you came out the opposite of where the court came out in Hispanic Leadership Fund.
Familiar
but I think
the Hispanic Leadership Fund decision, Mr. Turchinski. I remember it well.
Right, but I think the court already, I mean, I hear your concern, but I think the court disagreed with you and said, unless you have proof, all you have is a suspicion that because this voice has been associated with this real estate company, that everybody knows that that's Lee Brown, the candidate for Congress, I think is a leap that you can't make. If a federal judge in Alexandria, Virginia, couldn't identify the voice of President Obama, then why would the average listener in North Carolina be able to identify a particular voice and say, oh, that's the voice of the realtor who also happens to be a candidate for Congress? I mean, that's even more of a leap than everybody in Alexandria, Virginia knows the president's voice. And I think you're taking a leap that you don't have a factual basis to take when you say that.
Thanks for your opinion, Mr. Torchinsky. As I said, if somebody else, I don't know what that noise is. Oh, it's the construction across the way, or somebody washing our windows.
It's the window cleaning.
Window washers. Sorry about that. Always a little disconcerting when you see, look out the window on a high floor and see a person out there. As I said, if it were somebody else's voice, I think that would solve the problem for me. But that's where I am.
Sorry, I missed that because I was talking with Peterson. What was the last thing you said? Something would solve the problem for you?
Yeah, if it were somebody else's voice. I mean, it's Lee Brown and Associates, so presumably there's somebody else who works for this company. If somebody else were recording the ad and said, we're Lee Brown and Associates, then that would...
But why wouldn't that be an electioneering communication under your theory just because somebody else is saying it? It still has the candidate's name in it.
The question is whether the voice in the context of the ad constitutes a reference to a clearly identified candidate.
And it only does if it's the person talking?
In this context, where this individual has been voicing ads for her company that has her name for 13 years, yeah, I think so.
But if Peterson said it, it wouldn't reference a clearly identified candidate.
I think that would provide, if Commissioner Peterson wanted to do ads for the company, that would be odd, but if presumably it would be somebody else who works for the company who would say, we're Lee Brown and Associates, then, yeah, then I would view that as a reference to the company and not the candidate. I get it. You don't agree with me, but that's just...
I'm just trying to understand the difference. What's the difference?
Something in a footnote that says what the facts are here, but a different person, I don't know, maybe we can't make headway on that issue. It doesn't sound like it is, but I agree. How can we expect everybody to know who that is, even if the name could be a different name, and same, you know, different same person, same name, different person. It could be the father, the son. It could be, you know. So, I think that's kind of unrealistic.
When Jimmy John's ran ads and had a Bill Clinton impersonator acting like it was Bill Clinton's voice. I mean, where's the factual distinction? I mean, would the average viewer know that that was an impersonator and not Bill Clinton's voice? I mean, when you start to get to, you're making decisions on, you're making First Amendment based decisions based on what someone's voice sounds like, and assuming that people know who's speaking. I mean, you're really drawing a line that I don't think that Congress intended here. I mean, if her daughter read the script and her daughter's voice happens to sound a lot like hers, is that problematic? I mean, how different does the voice have to sound from the voice of the candidate in order for an alternative voice to read the same ad and it be okay? And I don't think that just saying, oh, well, somebody else who works for the business, what if their voices sound really similar? Is that also problematic? And who's determining whose voice sounds similar? I mean, I think you start to ask a lot of a candidate to decide, oh, well, I'm going to choose, you know, Jane because her voice doesn't sound like mine, but if I choose Donna, her voice sounds too much like mine. I think you're really drawing a fine line that isn't authorized by the statute or by the First Amendment there.
Well, actually, Mr. Torchinsky, you're the one who's coming up with the examples. I have a nice bright line rule for you. Have somebody else do the ad. I'm not asking what the other person's voice sounds like or whether they might kind of sound like the candidate's voice. Mr. Vice Chairman? Commissioner Hunter?
Would that be useful to you to have an AO that says if somebody else reads it? I mean, I'd rather not have to vote for that because I don't agree with it, but
could we have just a minute to consult? We might need to actually call the client and ask. So could we take maybe a 10-minute recess?
Sure.
Thank you.
10-minute recess. Okay, we're back. Mr. Torchinsky, have you had a chance to confer with your client?
Our client is unfortunately at a funeral at the moment, and we can't reach her. So given that, we would ask that the commission vote on draft A so that we can decide whether we're proceeding to court this afternoon.
Mr. Vice Chairman?
I'm going to make my motion on draft B to begin, and then perhaps we'll have another motion to see if it gets us closer to consensus. In consideration of draft advisory opinion 2019-06, submitted by Lee Brown, I move approval of agenda document number 19-14-B, the document we've been referring to as draft B.
Thank you. The Vice Chairman has moved approval of draft B of advisory opinion 2019-06, submitted by Lee Brown, as set forth in agenda document number 19-14-B. Any discussion on the question? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. Motion fails 2-2 with the Vice Chairman and Commissioner Hunter voting in favor and Commissioner Walther and me voting against. Mr. Vice Chairman? Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the interest of trying to see if there's a little more consensus, I would like to make a motion on with respect to draft A on questions 2 and 3, which address the alternatives proposed by the requester.
Okay, so I understand the motion to be you move approval of the answers to questions 2 and 3 in draft A.
Which is agenda document number 19-14-A.
Is there any discussion on that motion? I'll just say for myself that I view these facts as distinct from the Hispanic Leadership Fund precedent, which involved 8 words by the president in the president's voice and no mention of his name whatsoever, which I believe is fairly distinct from an entire paragraph in the voice of the candidate who identifies herself with the name of the agency, which is her name. So that's why I will not be able to support the motion. Ready? Okay, we're back.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Vice Chair.
If I may. I made a motion before we went into recess. I was consulting with Commissioner Walther, and what I am going to do is I'm going to withdraw the motion that I made so that he can make a motion first, and then after that, then I'll subsequently reintroduce the motion that I made before we had the recess.
Commissioner Walther?
Are you withdrawn already?
Yes, yes, he has withdrawn his motion and
I
turned
move
it
we approve draft AO 2019-06, Brown draft A.
Okay, Commissioner Walther has moved approval of draft A of advisory opinion 2019-06 as set forth in agenda document 19-14-A. Is there any discussion on the motion? I'll just say that I am not going to support the motion. I would support an alternative that concluded that the proposed alternate ads would not be electioneering communications if voiced by someone other than the candidate. But that is not the motion on the table. So I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. Motion fails by a vote of 1-3, with Commissioner Walther voting in favor and the Vice Chairman, Commissioner Hunter, and me voting against. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll once again make a motion to approve the answers in draft A to the answers to questions 2 and 3 as set forth in agenda document number 19-14-B, known as draft B, and we are in consideration of draft advisory opinion 2019-06.
Draft B.
Did I say, oh, I meant to say draft A. I apologize.
Okay.
Yes, draft A.
I thought that's what you meant. Okay.
To be clear, yeah. Agenda document number 19-14, draft A.
So okay. The Vice Chairman has moved approval of the answers to questions 2 and 3 as set forth in draft A, agenda document number 19-14-A. Any discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Motion fails by a vote of 3-1, with Commissioner Walther, the Vice Chairman, and Commissioner Hunter voting in favor and me voting against. Anybody want to make any other motions? I've indicated my views. I'm not going to ask someone else to make a motion on my behalf, but I think my my views are clear if they are helpful to the requester. I'm sorry we were unable to provide the guidance that she seeks.
I just have one request. Is there any way we could get our closeout letter this afternoon so that we can go to court before the election and communications window starts this weekend?
Can we do that, counsel?
Yeah, we can. Certainly, we can do so.
We will certainly accommodate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Staff Director, do we have any management or administrative matters?
Madam Chair, we have no such matters.
Okay. In that case, the open meeting is adjourned.